The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, on board. And then Ron Wolfley. Yeah, Ron's on his radio show right now. I taped him earlier. This is a big week for Ron. Ron is going to be honored as a distinguished Arizonan by the National Football Foundation Valley of the Sun chapter this coming Saturday. It is their scholar banquet. I am the MC, so I get to rip on Ron. No, I'm just kidding. And Sean Aguano. Sean Aguano is going to be a distinguished Arizonan this week, and rightly so. I will explain on both fronts as the week progresses. We are back from a nice long break. Went to Kauai, went to Maui, got away from it. Actually took this thing and put it aside. I was watching guys there at this one place we were staying. This isn't a personal attack, right? Because I've been that guy. But here they are. We were in Kauai. And this guy had his two kids and his wife there. And he was on his phone and he was doing stuff. And the kids were like, "Dad, let's go, let's go, let's go." And these kids were not like 5 and 6. They were a little bit older than that. And he just was working on it and working on it. He's like, "I have to take care of this email." And I understand we get busy, but you're on vacation. May sound like old man, get off my lawn. I don't mean to offend anybody who's watching. It's just like I did not take my laptop with me. I have never done that in the history of this company. I haven't. I took this and I threw it in the ocean. No, I didn't. I came close to throwing it in the ocean. But I didn't check it much, even though there was a ton going on because we were the busiest sports market in America. But it's fun to be back. We may sprinkle in some stories as the shows progress over the coming days. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, we appreciate the support of Desert Financial Credit Union. I got back just in time to meet up with Jeff Mishi of Desert Financial, their CEO and president at Arizona State, last Wednesday when they signed a 10-year agreement with ASU. So good for them. Congratulations to them. Now the bad news. I was at the Suns game last night. I don't get it. I go to the Suns game and there are people around me who are banging their laptops. There are people around me and they're credentialed. We have a pass around us that says media. And they're sighing and I can't believe this. And they're using expletives. And I've got people sitting behind me that are wearing Suns uniforms with credentials that say media. And I'm like, what is this? These are the same people like, all is well, all is well, all is well in the first quarter last night. And it wasn't well. Like, that was bad. That was beyond bad. That was like, I'm sitting here watching the Dallas game last May, game 7. It was that bad. They were asleep. They were comatose. DeAndre Ayton is getting outplayed by Zubac. Like, really getting outplayed. Not able to finish. The Suns are kicking the ball all over the place. And sure, they came back, but the facts are they lost last night. The final score will say they lost by 5. They lost in the first quarter, middle of the second quarter. That game was about over. Oh, they came all the way back because that's what happens in the NBA. Yeah, if you're not asleep off the start, if you're not asleep from the opening tip, if you're not down 16-18 in a opening round home playoff game, forget about this all finish. You've got to finish top 4 to have home court. Got to have home court. Well, that's over now because the Clippers just took it in one game. I mean, I'm laughing about this because this is not brain surgery. This isn't that hard. Referees were bad. Guess what? They're always bad. Referees didn't lose the game for them. Oh, sure they did, Brad. Sure. No, Suns missed free throws. Who shot more free throws yesterday? Didn't quite hear that. The Suns did. So, you know, you just go right down. And Paul George didn't even play. Now, in fairness, Cameron Payne hurt. I think that did hurt the Suns some. Torrey Craig played very well. I would have liked to have seen Terrence Ross get a few more minutes. Obviously, this is not rocket science. This is not splitting atoms. They've got to find a way to not let Kawhi Leonard get 38 in game 2. Like, we're going to do hours and hours of analysis, paralysis by analysis. Not that hard. Russell Westbrook can go 3 of 19, but just crush you on the offensive boards. Just do all the little things out on the floor. Like, that's a game you want to just show the dude that's, I got my 25 and I'm all that. No. Russell's having an off night. And what did he do? He just ripped the heart out of the Suns. He did. You know, I sat in the Zoom after the game was over and questions about, well, there are some great moments in the second, third quarter. Please don't wear the jersey and wear a credential around your neck. Please don't sit there and pound your laptop if the team is losing. You're not there to cheer. Man, go get on the company payroll. Just embarrassing. It's embarrassing. So that's part of my rant from yesterday. Game two is tomorrow night, and you just can't get schooled on the offensive boards. Like, we are all seeing, I'm not speaking out of school here. I'm not saying anything that none of you have thought. This is the end of DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix. This will be it. This summer, we'll see about Chris Paul. This team, as it's currently constructed, somebody sent me a note this morning. They miss Mikal Bridges. Yeah. Yes, they do in a big way. Yes, they do in a big way. So is it Terrence Ross that comes through? I don't know. But the frustration for DeAndre Ayton, like, there were boos coming down in the arena last night, home playoff game. And the Suns just felt old in stretches, I thought. Stretches is just like, huh, Clippers are fresher. Well, the Suns had two hard scrimmages during the week. Ooh. Well, that's what did it. So it's a series of adjustments, and that's the oldest cliche of it, and we'll see tomorrow night. I would like to see Terrence Ross a little bit more. Obviously, they've got to clean up stuff. Felt like the Clippers dictated tempo all night long, got the Suns out of their game. There weren't very many crisp stretches. I'm not going to buy in the, boy, the Suns played great second, third, fourth quarter. No, they didn't. They played well in spurts. They played well in stretches. And I'm not going to sit here and after every game say, well, the refs cost the Suns. You can say that about every game. I thought the playoffs all weekend were great. The biggest story over the weekend was the amount of injuries. You know, the amount of injuries, and John Morant just got to learn that he's got to run out of bounds. If I'm using a football analogy, don't be the quarterback that tries to sky over everybody and then you get hurt, because that's what happened. He's got to learn that. So, and I watched the Warriors Kings. I'm excited. My wife, I judge a lot of what my circle of friends who are not in this business, what they do. They have lives. They are not just, oh my gosh, everything is around this game. No. They go on dates. They watch movies. They go do other things with people. They have interests. They read more than just the sports page, and it's great. She's all about Sacramento and Golden State. And my circle of friends are about Golden State and Sacramento. So we'll watch that tonight. I watched some of the Diamondbacks over the weekend. And yeah, Friday and Saturday weren't great. Yesterday, Corbin Carroll. Corbin Carroll already has 4 home runs. My Diamondbacks are in first place. First place. I know it's early. So what? You know, there's times where they're in first place early in a season, and it's like, yeah, you know, they're just going to get to that July series with the Dodgers and get swept or lose 3 or 4, and then it's over with. And outside of what to do with Madison Bumgarner, I don't see anything that is, like, Christian Walker can't continue to be Dave Kingman. He had a couple hits yesterday. He's hitting .170. Can't have that. Zach Gallen, 2-hit ball through 7 innings, retired the first 13 batters. Every fifth day, you've got somebody. Merrill Kelly pitches tonight against St. Louis. Had some tough luck so far this season, but I feel good about the top of the rotation. They're 9-7. They're in first place in the National League West, and I will take that all day long. Saturday, I went out to Arizona State. It was their spring football game. Kenny Dillingham and his staff doing the right things, in my opinion. I walk out on the field. There's a few fans there. They might have had 3,000. And I've got some media people coming up. Oh, my gosh, what are they going to do? Oh, my gosh, what are they going to do? And it's just isn't that hard, guys. This falls on ASU. This is their ineptness. This is their incompetence of turning the other way during the Herm stuff towards the end. That's it. the people that, like, it's this many people that pay attention. They got to go get the masses. They got to go get people that never go to ASU games, but like college football, like college sports. They do. And so I'm watching the team. It's great. There's all sorts of players to get excited about. People running around, getting their interviews and all that. And it's going to be 44,000 maybe announced when they open the season. Got to get through those directional games to start out the year. And then the Southern Utah, and then NAU, and then you get to Oklahoma State. Let's see. And that game won't be sold out in all likelihood. Now, ASU will be like, oh, that's the truth. What do you mean it won't be sold out? You guys never sell out. But because their schedule is so good, but it's tough. Pac-12's tough. Like when they have USC come here for the final time, they're going to have Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams. That game should be sold out. It really should be. I don't know what else is going to be going on. The way the Cardinals are stepping all over themselves, I don't know if anybody's going to be paying attention to what's going on out in Glendale this year. Are you? So I'm very impressed with the body language of the team, the enthusiasm of the team. I don't know if Kenny Dillingham's going to be a great head coach when bullets are flying in September. Nobody does. Everybody can say, oh, he's going to be great. You don't know. You're a fan. It's great being a fan. Be realistic. Let's give him a few games and see what it looks like. Let's see how this assistant coaching staff all blends together. Sean Aguano on that staff is going to be honored this Saturday. There's still some tickets available. If you'd like to go, just go to aznff.org, aznff.org. It's the National Football Foundation Valley of the Sun Chapter's annual scholar luncheon. And Sean is going to be honored, and he should be. All Sean did is win at Chandler High School and turn around a program that was down and out. And then he went to Arizona State and chased his dream. And then last year, when the roof caved in on everything, he stepped into the fray and did the best that he could. My opinion, as a high school coach and a college coach, that's a distinguished Arizonan. So Sean Aguano will be on stage. Ron Wolfley will be on stage. There'll be 28 kids in tuxedos. Deuce Robinson will be one of them. Miles Libman will be one of them. It'll be great. It'll be great. What else? What else? What else? Oh, so transfer portal's open. I'm going to talk to Wilner about that. So John Wilner's on the other side. Transfer portal in football is open right now. I'm not the biggest fan of it. It's open until the 30th. So many kids make mistakes. It's fine to have a way to go. I think there's too much of it. I will talk with the one and only John Wilner from Wilner Hotline. That is on the other side. Stay with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, with us for a few minutes. John's been on vacation. I've been on vacation, so we're going to chop it up. Who knows what direction we're going to go in this segment. You can find John's content. Follow him over on social, on Twitter in particular, at Wilner Hotline. Of course, we carry his content on sports360az.com and on the TV show. It is good to see you. I would say on the surface, not much has happened since we last spoke a few weeks back, but on the other side of the street, the commissioner loses someone in his front office. The transfer portal opened a couple days ago in football. And John, let's just start there unless you want to go commissioner first. You tell me. You lead the trio here.
Well, I appreciate that offer. You know, we could hit on the commissioner situation because that's, you know, hard news from last week, right? Jamie Zdenovich, who'd been with the Pac-12 for almost a decade as the COO, deputy commissioner, oversees men's basketball, is leaving the conference, is leaving college sports to join the private sector. But the interesting piece is, one of the interesting pieces is his first task with his new company is to help the Pac-12. He's going to advise, he's going to a strategic communications firm and going to advise the Pac continue to work with the Pac-12 on its media deal. He's been in the inner circle all along for the last 10 months, and he's going to continue to work with the conference till they get this media deal done.
Okay, so I'll step back for a second because the Big Ten gets a new commissioner.
Yep.
Kliavkoff loses his senior aide. What is the national view of what's gone on out here under the new leadership?
Well, I mean, the national view is pretty grim and has been for a while now, but the national view is also based largely on speculation, right? I mean, the people who really know what's going on with the Pac-12, you can count on, you know, one hand, in addition to some of the presidents. So, but it's clearly not good, right? If the Pac-12 had had a great media rights offer, it would have a deal.
Right.
So, now, there's different degrees, though. Just because it's not a great deal doesn't mean it's going to be a bad deal. Just because the deputy commissioner is leaving doesn't mean the Titanic is sinking. So we'll see. It's clearly going to take them a little while longer. And as long as none of the presidents panic, that's okay. The risk with taking longer is that you get a president who panics and jumps to the Big 12 or some kind of economic development in the media ecosystem affects the negotiations in a adverse way. If those things don't happen, then it's okay for this to take a little while longer.
Yeah, there's been some speculation about the CW network. CW, you and I have not talked about much. They picked up the LIV golf tournament. I think there's some smart people that are advising them and kind of telling them what direction to go. Yep. They have some distribution. But they've not done sports before. And so for the common sports fan, they may be like, well, why would I do that? I just want to be able to click it on and find it. There is distribution with CW. And I don't think that would be a terrible option for them to go, as long as they have some of the main players like ESPN. If Amazon and Apple are saying, oh, we're really not sure about you guys, I get it. I get it.
Right. I'm not sure to what degree the CW is serious and to the extent to which it wants a bunch of games, right? Maybe it's, excuse me, maybe it's a game a week. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But the CW is an over-the-air broadcast network. It's as accessible as CBS or NBC,
right?
People don't think of it for sports, obviously. The CW is not a bad option, right? It's over-the-air broadcast like CBS. It's in 115 million homes. You can get it as easily as you can any of the other major broadcast networks. So for exposure, it's a good option. The fact that people don't think about it or identify it with college sports, that would be a negative. But, you know, if they get a small package of game, one a week, I don't think that's a bad deal at all for the Pac-12.
John Woolner with us for a couple of minutes. You can clear your throat while we're talking. I'm fine with that. That's part of the.
I'm sorry. The travel and lack of sleep is getting to me here.
Yeah, you'll be all right. All right. So let's get over to this and I'll get you out of here. And that is transfer portal. So when the transfer portal first started, it was the end of the end of the end. Transfer portal opened over the weekend, April 15th. Transfer portal opens up again. They have until April 30th to decide if they're going to bolt or not. I do think that it is become a real problem in some areas where kids just don't know any better and crazy parents don't know any better and the advisors are telling them where to go and you have kids that get shut out. It's unfortunate that a kid goes to a Division III, thinks he's good enough to go to a Division I or Division II, and nothing happens. So are you a fan of the portal just on its surface, John? I'm not talking about specific players or anything, but just the portal and the way that it's set up.
Well, I am a fan because I think if a coach can leave, the players should be able to move, right? I think that it is absolutely fair. Now, I do think there should be some guardrails. The fact that they have established two transfer windows where you can enter the portal, one is right after the college football season, the other for football is right now at, you know, second half of April. I think that's good. The being able to enter the portal 365 days a year was a bad deal for everybody. I also think they should consider some kind of holding period. Like you have to be in the portal for a certain amount of time before you can commit to a school. Something that gives the kids a forced pause to make them think it through and make sure they're not making a bad decision.
Right.
That would be hard to implement, but I think that almost in some ways the kids need guardrails to keep them, you know, to self-police in some way to avoid terrible decisions. Now, how they went about doing that, I don't know, but there is a lot of bad advice and there are a lot of quick, rash decisions. And you're right. There's a lot of Power Five kids who don't end up with a place to go, at the division, at the FBS level, and they end up having to go to FCS or Division II. So they need a few more guardrails, but I think in principle, it's only fair that the athletes should be able to move.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you on the late transfer period. This period.
Okay.
Here's the thing, John. So a kid gets yelled at in spring ball. Coach doesn't like me. Coach doesn't know what he's got to work with. And you get players that have a bad spring or they don't get used as much. And they're just like, I'm out of here. At some point, don't we, this may be old guy, get off my lawn. Okay. Fair disclosure on this. But at some point, a kid's got to tough it out. Look, you want to leave at the end of the season. I totally get that. But then you want to leave because it's just too hard, or there's players that have come in and now coaches have to run guys off. Yeah, you better go in the portal because it's just not working out here. I just feel like it's kind of like the early signing period in December makes zero sense. And 6 weeks later in February, you can sign again. Make it the 1st of August. Transfer portal, you want to leave at the end of the season, knock yourself out. But it's too easy for a kid in this day and age to say, no, this is too hard. There's too much competition. That's what makes sports so great. Am I old man, get off my lawn or not?
No, I see where you're coming from, but I just think that the way NCAA is moving and the way the legal system is forcing the NCAA to, you know, towards player rights and player welfare, it would be hard to take that away. And I don't think they're going to do that. I see where you're coming from, but at the same time, so many things happen between the close of the portal in early January and then the end of spring ball. So many things happen with new coaches, head coaches, staff, players coming in, that it's awfully hard to then not give them another window to do it. I just think it's the fair thing for the players to do. But I do agree with you that they got to do something about December, because you've got the early signing period. The transfer portal, you got bowl games, Everything is colliding. And what happens is that's forcing schools to make decisions on coaching staffs during the season, which adversely affects players in a lot of instances too. So it's all interconnected, and they got to figure it out. It's an evolving process. I don't think the calendar is going to look the same in 2 or 3 years as it does now. And I think they're focusing on December.
Okay, and I know coaches make a lot of money. I know they do, but between December 15th and the end of the year, there's no way these guys can have a life. Not a chance, the way that it is structured. Because their season ends, they go right into the portal, they go right into the letter of intent, they go right into the bowl, they're losing coaches. Yeah, play a little violin of sympathy for these coaches making millions of dollars. It's just not right. It's not right for the coaches, not right for their mental health, not right for much of anything other than their bank accounts.
So. No, and they've pushed back against some of the calendar stuff too. And here's the thing. Consider what's going to happen when there's a playoff, right? Because the first round of the playoff is the second Saturday in December. That's going to make that month even crazier and then put stress on the other pieces of the player acquisition calendar, for lack of a better term, right? So they're going to have to figure things out. And I do think it'll be different a few years from now. It'll be interesting to see, too, what happens week zero, right? Which is typically the last Saturday in August. Right now, you got to get a waiver to play that weekend. But there's some talk about making that the start of the season. Now, in some ways, that's good because it would create 2 weeks for buys during the year, and that would help players recover. But at the same time, that would push the start of training camp even earlier into late July. So we'll have to see how it's all breaks down. But the calendar, it needs help. The fact that there's no czar of college football, this is another instance in which you could argue they need one central decision-making body. The NCAA can't be in charge of it. We'll see.
Yeah, you should be one of those guys. You and Canzano. By the way, it is John Canzano and John Wilner, or Wilner Canzano podcast, as I like to say, and you can find that as well. John does that every week. Appreciate your time. Get better. We'll talk next week.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. Ron Wolfley with us for a couple of minutes. This Saturday, Ron is going to be honored along with Sean Aguano as part of the National Football Foundation Valley of the Sun Chapter Annual Scholar Banquet. And it's going to be at the Wild Horse Pass in the showroom, boys in tuxes up on stage. Ron's not going to be in tux. I'm not going to be in tux. We have two distinguished Arizonans, Ron Wolfley and Sean Aguano, and they both richly deserve it. You're in that stage in your career where people are honoring you. They're not throwing dirt on you. They're not saying get out. So what does this mean, being a distinguished Arizonan, Ron?
I honestly, Bradley, I really do appreciate it. It's a wonderful honor, courtesy of the National Football Foundation. I'm the son of a truck driver, and I always will be the son of a truck driver that grew up on a dead-end street that literally emptied into a gravel pit. So anytime I get this kind of recognition and honor, I just don't feel worthy of it, buddy. And I think you know me to know that it makes me uncomfortable as well. And yet I'm so grateful.
I'm going to be interviewing Ron on Saturday, and I'm going to make him really uncomfortable. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to make you uncomfortable. We're going to have fun with this, but I do wonder, if the game of football doesn't come into your life, where are you today?
Question. I don't know. God knows where I am. He knows what I'm doing. He used football. He used football in my life when I was a young man growing up to give me direction, to bring discipline into my life. He used football and the concept of being on a team and what it means to be a teammate to other. Little did I know that this would be excellent practice for life, especially life after football. And it taught me so many lessons, the game itself. And I'm so thankful to God for that blessing in my life, Brad.
You know, football, Ron, has been under attack. Concussions, injuries, the NFL doesn't care about their players, on and on and on and on and on. And you've been there, and now you're in the broadcast booth, and you see it from afar. Is the game still what it is meant to be? If we cut to the core of it, is it all still blocking and tackling and teammates and 53 guys together, 53 different islands, 53 different universes, 53 different corporations, as some people like to say, and get them all together? Do you still see that, or game's not what it once was?
Yeah, you know, listen, if you're asking as physical as it once was, no, it is not, Brad. It's not even close. And the reason why I say that is the biggest change in the game of football, and I think I've told you this before, but the biggest change by far and away is how you prepare a human being to play in an NFL football game. It is not even close. I mean, this used to be a situation where you'd go out on a Wednesday and a Thursday with pads on, Brad, hammer each other pretty good. You would prepare to play in a game by getting after it in practice, especially if you knew it was going to be a physical game. You were going to play the Philadelphia Eagles and Reggie White. You were going to play Lawrence Taylor and the New York Giants. You were going to play the Washington Redskins with the Hogs. You were going to play very, very physical games, and you would prepare the same way as you would play very, very physical practices. That no longer exists in the National Football League, and I think that has an awful lot to do with the game not being as physical or as brutal as it once was. It has changed so much, and Brad, it needed a change.
Ron Wolfley with us for a couple of minutes. He will be on stage, honored as a distinguished Arizonan this Saturday, 12:30, doors open at Wild Horse Pass, the National Football Foundation, Valley of the Sun chapter. Ron and Sean Aguano both going in as distinguished Arizonans. There's going to be about 40 players. 28 of them will be in tuxedos, high school seniors. They're not the best football players through and through, but they have the grades and they want to continue on. What message would you have for young men who are seniors in high school? A, B, there's people that watch our content, that will watch this show, that are saying, I'm a freshman, I'm an eighth grader, I'm a scrawny little sophomore, I don't know if I want to keep playing. What message would you give them about the sport and sticking with it, Ron?
You know, it's a great question, Brad. It really is. For the guys that are at it right now, for the guys that are in high school right now and succeeding and doing well and will be there, of course, at the banquet, I would tell them honestly that this is something that can benefit them for the rest of their life, going about the game of football and how you participate in the game of football. The fact that it will teach you so many lessons about life. Brad, I don't know if there's a better metaphor for life than getting knocked down on the football field and getting up and doing it again and again and again, because guess what's going to happen in the game of life? You're going to get knocked down. It's not a matter of if you're going to get knocked down. It's a matter of when you're going to get knocked down. So I would tell those young men that are pursuing this that they need to understand this is going to be life for the rest of their lives. And football is an excellent teacher and trainer in terms of preparing you to walk through it and persevere. And for young people that are growing up right now and thinking about it, they've made changes to the game of football, changes needed to make, Bradley, in my opinion. They needed to do it, take the head out of the equation. Even though I will tell you right now, I am so thankful to my Father in heaven that I was able to play in the era that I was, because I would not have been playing football if I was not allowed to use my head. I'm just telling you, I didn't have the talent. I didn't have the hands. I didn't have the running ability. I didn't have all of that. I could give you an awful lot of damage with my head, and I could absorb an awful lot of damage with my head. And it's one of the reasons why I was a wedge buster. You might want to go ahead, if you're listening right now, just Google that, wedge buster. Go ahead and do it. I'm not going to explain what it was, but it was very, very physical. And for the young guys right now, to the game, I think they have done a great job of making sure the game is safer, but it's never going to be safe. But it will teach you so many life lessons. Be encouraged.
Before I get you out of here, the broadcast side of it, without some person, who's that person that pushed the button for you to become a broadcaster and so good at it?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Bradley. Brother Craig. There's no doubt about it. My older brother, Craig, 5 years older than I am, played 12 years in the National Football League, started 10 years for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm talking about he was drafted in April of 1980. Yes, April of 1980. They had just won their fourth Super Bowl ring in January of 1980. So he was there with all the greats. Bradshaw, of course, and Joe Lambert, Lynn Swan, I mean, Franco Harris, on and on and on it went. And just being around those guys really was encouraging to me. But Craig has always been such a great example to me throughout my whole life. And he continues and remains to be that for me today.
Ron Wolfley, distinguished Arizonan, this Saturday, National Football Foundation, Valley of the Sun chapter. Look forward to seeing you, buddy, on Saturday.
Thank you, Brad.